Hey, Fades, we did it! We actually did it. This is the Chapter 3 finale. Wah, 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 wah. Thank you so much for listening and following our heroes as they do stuff. This episode marks the end of Chapter 3, and I'll talk a little bit after the episode about what that means and what's going to happen in the next chapter, so stay tuned for that. But first, here's what happened last time. Alarin, Banfor, and Marley left the realm of Sorghumul and returned to their bodies in the Material Realm just as the Killing Grounds event was coming to a close. The combatants all reconvened in the center of the arena, but were interrupted by the arrival of the Empress and her retinue. The Empress outed our heroes as resistance members before denouncing the Empire, deposing General Porton as the Regent of Bruss, and reinstating Queen Shan. The heroes killed the Empress, as was promised. Then the real main event began.
What's that? New Patreon supporter.
So new Patreon, Brad. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, well, I'm completely going to butcher this name, but Raina Kowalczyk, I think.
That sounds right.
It's going to be fun to add to the list in every episode. She messaged on Twitter about a week ago that she'd started listening to the podcast.
Oh God, she's not the one who was like, Julia's eating is really bad.
Yes, but she's also rules lawyered a bunch of times, saying like, Brad, you shouldn't have let them do this. Brad, you shouldn't have let them do this. You shouldn't have let them do this. But like in a really friendly, supportive, I'm a big fan way. And in like the last week, she's binged the whole thing.
Nice.
Which is like 80 hours worth of recording.
That is some dedication. Yeah.
Is there like a help service we can send to her?
No, she's, I think she's American.
She's off sound mind, right?
Yeah. I think she's American.
We hope,
and she's
after
like,
listening to us. Doing,
like, the four signs of a school shooter.
Yeah. She may need therapy now.
Social stigma. Listening to the fate of Isaac. Access the firearm.
Anyway, our point is thank you, Raina.
Thanks, Raina! And I swear I'm better at the eating thing now, right? Right? Like, please message me.
Do you guys want to crack on with this episode, which is to be our Chapter 3 finale? Don't know why I did the Law and Order. Law and Order. Dum-dum.
Someone's getting... Oh, wait, is it you or just Law and Order?
Just Law and Order, not the Banfor Sex Crimes Unit.
BSU, yeah. BSU,
yeah, that's the one. Okay, should we introduce ourselves like properly, seeing as it's all like finale and stuff? Like, ooh.
Yeah, all of you take turns in alphabetical order of first name.
Of character or of person?
Person.
Last name or last name? Yeah, a person. Last name or last name?
We'll go first name, last name, first name. All right, so alphabetically, alternating first and last names. So Adam, Jules, me.
Yes. Who is Oliver? Technically, Shouldn't it be Adam, Brad, Jules, Oliver?
I need no introduction.
Right?
No.
He's God.
That's my thing. So everyone knows who Kit is in Knight Rider. But
that's true.
You know?
Although they do tend to get the two of them confused, so that's actually not accurate.
No, it is inaccurate. Like a US bombing campaign. What's up? Several Mm-mm. children died today.
Mm-mm.
I don't know that for a fact, but it's a pretty good bet.
SPS, bro, that's a strong political stance, and we don't do those here at Fate of Eisen. SPS warning.
Oh, that wasn't political at all. Isn't murdering children a political stance? And being
It's in our contract at Necropodicon.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
SPS.
SPS, bro. No.
Well, I am neither for or against the murder of children indiscriminately.
So Adam,
how's the introduction going, Brad?
So far, it's a 1 out of 100.
Our introductions have a chaos curse now. That sounds about right.
What does one on the chaos table immediately tell me? I demand this.
Give me a moment to bring it up. Chaos curse.
What if I say no?
What if all of our introductions now have a thing?
Oh. One is that is one of the ones that, because a few of them repeat in the table, and it's the convinced that you're falling one that Marley had.
So do we have to do all of our introductions like we think we're falling?
Yeah, why not? Adam, can you introduce yourself as if you're falling?
What sort of... Yeah, okay, I'll do it as if I'm falling in love.
Right.
That's cute, Adam.
Let's all get a chaos curse for our intro. How about that?
Oh, can I roll my own chaos curse rather than be handed one?
Roll a D100.
Okay.
I like that.
All right. That's cute. I got a 60 on the money, even.
this doesn't really make sense in the context of an introduction, but
we can make it work.
You willingly give up your weapon to the nearest creature.
Oh, okay. Here is my crossbow. Anyway, I'm Adam Wright. I play Alarin Windrush, a fighter elf who gives away his weapons.
That's the best intro. Here's my crossbow. I'm Alarin Windrush.
Here's my crossbow.
Does that mean Oliver is doing falling, so I should roll my own too?
We can all roll our own.
You can all roll if you want. The one was sort of an arbitrary thing based on me rating how shit this intro is so far.
It's not good. And you know what? It hasn't gotten better.
Hey, I got it on the money as well. I got 40. 40.
40 is... You yell your own name nonstop until you...
I've already had this one, or somebody's had this one, haven't we?
Yeah, you did. You had that one when you were talking to the Empress on the balcony.
Was it when you created your character at the start, or...?
Okay, so I'm going to back up from the microphone for a bit here. Hang on.
It works for an intro, though.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Okay. I'm Julia Bergsa, my boy Marley Craft, who's a half-elf bard ranger, who has a dead pet called Hodge somewhere on the killing grounds. That's my intro.
Is he still your pet if he's dead?
He is still my pet, my heart.
What is he? Just going to drag him around till he starts smelling. Good. I got a 26, Brad, because I was prepared ahead of time.
Oh, you regain 10 hit points.
Hi. Hi. Went for a run today. Fell over a little bit, but don't feel worse for wear. Having gained those 10 hit points back, it's me. It's Oliver Scripps. I play Bamfor Watt, a human barbarian / blood hunter who just, you know, is around, man. I don't know. At this point, how many fucking episodes? I mean...
Too many.
Too many.
Too many to count. You know, the end of wit. The wit's end is where we find ourselves.
Okay. Let's jump straight into it. Y'all remember what happened last time?
It was a big monkey.
Yeah, and I have a million things that I want to ask right now.
You have a million things you want to ask what?
I've been thinking about this for like 2 weeks, because it's been 2 weeks since we recorded last. So I've been thinking about this the whole time. How far away is it when the gate opens? Like, obviously we see it. I want to know how many things I can do. Are we going to roll initiative straight away? Like, how's this working?
It's a few hundred feet away.
Okay.
The gate opening. So, I mean, you see this thing plowing towards you. But for anyone who's just joining us, plowing, good one.
Plowing, yeah.
barreling towards you.
Still counts, so she's big enough.
Oh, because it's a monkey and it's a barrel of monkeys. Oh. I love that my jokes are really bad, but the worse they are, the more Adam laughs. I love having Adam here. Can we have him all the time?
Is it bad etiquette to cancel the podcast on a chapter finale?
Monkey.
But yeah, to catch people up who might be joining us for the first time, weird choice, joining us now.
Ooh,
but hi, and welcome, and we're the Apple Squatter. It's really good to have you.
This is going to be weird for you. It's going to be uncomfortable. There's going to be a lot of questions and not many answers. But hey, look, it's free.
Last time you guys returned to the Killing Grounds after having traveled astrally to one of the planes of the God of Death. You caught the very end of an event where there had been many fighters who were all sort of shooed away by the Empress, who had previously contracted Marley to kill her in a big scene for 100,000 spectators. And a strange fight broke out where the objective was to kill the Empress, who wasn't going to fight back. But Adam made the choice to attack the the champion fighter, who was just standing stoically nearby, turning it into an absolute clusterfuck. Eventually, the Empress died and turned into energy and just sort of disappeared. And at that point, a door opened on the far end of the arena, and a gigantic 30-foot-tall gorilla with red fur charged in towards you. Okay, and that's where I'm about to kick us off narratively into what's happening right now. Are you guys ready?
Yes.
Yes, one further question. Two further questions, in fact, Your Honor. Did I actually get 10 hit points back?
No.
No, that was part of the intro.
Fuckery. Secondly, do we want to run through our level up?
We recently leveled up. I don't know how much detail you guys want to go into about that. If there's something interesting you want to tell me or the listeners about that, sure, go ahead.
I can now see with the sight of an eagle, so kind of a big deal. I can see things at very far distances as though they were very close, so double totem, eagle, bull, imagine that, more plausible than a fucking shuck, but you know, having a good time.
The shuck thing is, there's some questions that are going to be answered about the shuck thing. I've got a narrative little treat for you.
If the doctor from the human centipede comes out, I'm not going to be surprised.
Marley, did you want to say anything about your level up?
I just went for a really strategic level up this time and took the skills boost. So Marley's to hit with her hand crossbow is now +8, which is pretty sweet. So I'm looking forward to that saving my ass a lot.
Wait, and Ellerin, did you step up a level?
I did. I moved up a level, so I'm not a real lightweight anymore. But I also read through my attacks, and I have extra attack special. You can attack twice whenever you take the attack action on your turn.
Yeah, so every turn you could attack twice if you wanted to. Plus you've also got Action Surge, which you can do twice per long rest, I think. And that if you burn one of those, you can attack a third time.
Yeah, that's a fighter for you.
Yeah, fighters are really good at attacking things. Funny that.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm.
All right.
So I should have added too. Oh. So interestingly, Marley is now half bard, half ranger. She's even Stevens now.
Hey, 4-4.
Yeah, 4-4 if anybody's following what I'm up to. Wow. That's what I'm up to.
I thought you would have taken more in Bard, but
I was tempted to, but the Ranger 4th level stuff was more important to me this time round.
Oh, yeah, makes sense.
Is that called multi-classing?
Yep.
Yay.
Nailing it, Adam. You'd think you'd be playing for ages.
I've been reading up, burning up.
Moon is a star. So the okay, cue the music.
Sorry, Brad, go ahead.
Cue the arena music that I like to insert in post in scenes like this. Go. The giant 30-foot-tall gorilla with red fur charges towards you. It comes to an abrupt halt and bellows out a roar that shakes the whole arena. And echoes for miles and silences the chaotic, near-rioting crowd. All of you hear a voice in your head.
Lawflak, wake! Lawflak, wake!
And then the ape raises its enormous fists in the air, and a huge 200-foot diameter ring of fire bursts up around you, immediately engulfing most of the arena. The flames and smoke rise quickly into a thick, impenetrable column, blocking any chance of escape and shutting you off from the no doubt terrified crowd on the other side.
The crowd are okay, though. They haven't all died in a mass fire.
You don't know. I mean, you're just inside it. You're just inside a massive, giant a chimney of flame. You don't know anything on what's happening outside it.
Okay.
Using my eagle sight, can I see anything?
So at this point, Brad, you said he was a couple of hundred feet away from us still?
He had been, but he's charged in. He's still, he's within this 200 foot diameter radius.
Uh-huh.
Narratively, he can be wherever you want as long as it's inside that ring.
Yeah, it's just I probably would do a couple of things as he was running towards us, just narratively speaking. Yep. Just like, Bardic Inspiration, Ellerin, and ready my crossbow and like that kind of stuff as I can see he's running towards, you know, just a few basic ready type stuff.
Yep. Cool. So, Ellerin, add that you've got one Bardic Inspiration. Add a d6 to any d20 roll that you want.
Okay.
I'm also going to smack back a little cheeky potion of healing there while he's on his way in.
Okay. Cool. So, was it a greater healing or normal?
Yes. 44 plus 4.
Cool. You do that.
14 hit points.
Ooh. Cool.
How are you looking? Before I would have quickly to see if you were
15 down from max. Max is now 67, so that's fine.
Okay. So looking at you quickly and realizing what we're about to do and knowing I would have needed you, I would have just shot a quick level 1 cure wounds at you.
Sick as. What does that do?
It's 1d8 plus 5. I'm just going to roll it up. Hope for a good one.
Bamfor's gonna hammer back his potion of fire giant strength.
Nice.
So I got you an extra 11, Bamf.
Heck fucking yeah, 11.
Sorry, I only used a level 1 because I wanted to save the spells, you know?
No, please do.
Sorry, Brad, because I realise he's running in and he's doing this, but we wouldn't be just standing there.
Oh, no, absolutely. This is good admin. This is, like, prepping for what you know is to come.
I've got a plus 10 to hit, boys.
Nice. Yeah.
Nice. Ellerin, what do you do any prep seeing this thing coming towards you? Do you try and finish off the champion while you can?
I slip on my ring of jumping because I know I'm going to need to be getting some mad hops, some air time.
Oh, jumping.
Nice.
You said chumping for some reason. Like, who are you chumping?
Crunking. I've got my ring of crunking, so now I'm going to have to crunk off against this giant
gorilla. You're going back to 2004.
So that's your prep? As you just put on your ring of jumping.
That's such a shit prep. Put on one ring. It takes half a second. Yeah.
I could have had it for ages. I could have had it on the whole time, but look at me jump, lads.
Make a real show of it, too.
I just want it noted that as soon as it gets within 60 foot, I'm going to throw a vicious mockery its way. Just so you know.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, so it hovers at a decent distance from you, in just inside the ring of fire, and that's when you hear the sound of a portal. And right next to you, Marley, a portal opens, and stepping out of it is Drafer, the young boy who was the magical slave, basically, of the Empress. Yeah. And he stands next to you, sort of looks at the giant red gorilla thing, and then he looks back at you, and he's twiddling his thumbs, and he goes, The Empress, she told me that I had to help you with some unnamed favor. I'm sorry to be rude, but it has to be now because I have to be somewhere that she wants me to go.
How close are we all together? Does Bamfor hear this?
Yeah,
I'd imagine you're
a close. I wouldn't recognize him as anything to do with anything.
He was involved in the big clusterfuck in last episode.
He was. Bamfor close by points at the kid and goes, "Portal that fucking thing into the sun."
No, it's not your favour. It's mine.
Ask him to portal that fucking thing into the sun.
I asked her to give me an unnamed favour. Yeah.
Is that Is that what you want me to do?
Nope. We can take this fucker on our own.
That thing. Portal. Sun. Portal. Sun. Bamfor continues pointing.
Nope. We can take that confused. On our own. I'm, like, not even worried. I probably should be, but Molly's over cocky. No, she was going to ask for something, like, you know, I don't know. I hadn't decided because I didn't know this was going to be a thing. You're putting me on the spot, Brad.
Ellerin whispers, I'm tying by the way, you know, the sun is a star.
Stanford, just looks at him as somebody who has previously physically harmed him and is considering doing so again. Because as dumb... as brick dumb as Pampor is, he knows. In the meantime, there is a gigantic ape charging at us, correct?
It charged, but then it stopped charging, and then it raised its arms in the air, and that's when the flames rose up in the air as well. So you could probably ascertain that the gorilla created the flames.
On the off chance, this isn't a fey beast at all, is it?
You wouldn't know, but I'll tell you as a DM, no.
Well, as somebody with level 2 Hunter's Bane, I think that I would have a smell for beasts.
It's a beast. It's not fey.
Yeah, is it a fiend or undead?
No, it might be an abomination.
Technically, he doesn't actually have to tell you this information.
Yeah, I don't have
Are you rolling a nature check of some kind?
Well, the problem... I'd have to go nature, and then I get intelligence checks against sort of figuring out what it is. So would I have go to go nature? Would I have to know what it is to know what it is?
You
or is that one wrong?
I'll give you this for free. You've never heard of anything like this in your entire life.
Delicious. Fantastic. Thank you.
Does it smell?
Ooh. Yeah. Take us there.
Not from where you are. All you can smell is smoke and fire.
I was going to say, if it's close enough to smell, it's probably set off my vicious mockery that I've got ready.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, so, and Drafer appeared beside you as well.
Yes, 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 and Molly knows exactly what she wants.
Oh, what's happened? Has there been an interlude?
There's been a small interlude, and Molly had some time to think. And she thinks of Hodge, but she has this image of Hodge in her head, of Hodge being large enough to ride and flying. And that's what she says to Drafer. She wants to be able to ride a flying Hodge.
You want to be able to ride the dead wolf?
Yes, through the skies.
You want the wolf to be dead and you want to ride a dead wolf?
Specify.
No,
alive.
I want the wolf to be alive and rideable and have wings. I want my Hodgy back, but I want my Hodgy back with improvements.
You want Hodge 2.0?
Yes.
He says... He has a long think about it, because there's quite a lot of different elements to what you just asked. There's resurrection, there's like turning it into a whole new thing. He you get the impression that he's sort of like looking inside himself to see if he has the power to do that.
You've got to search for the hero in the distance.
Please say yes, I really want to ride a flyable heart.
And he looks at you and he says, okay, I can do that, but not right now. And then he opens a portal and disappears.
Oh my god, this is the best thing that's ever happened to Molly. Even though it hasn't happened yet, that's the best thing to ever happen in her life. She's going to get Hodge back.
That's a good teaser.
What a terrifying example of this kid's powers, by the way. Didn't even fucking flinch, just specified the job and was like, yeah, I can deliver this impossible slap in the face of God within 4 working days. What a convenient.
I'm so excited. You guys have no idea. It's going to be the only, like, rideable flying wolf in Eisen.
We got offered a flying shark and turned it down, so...
But that was because it was Simon the shark, Sire the shark.
Yeah.
Okay, so the fire ape or red ape takes a few menacing steps closer to you and closes the distance, and Marley, your vicious mockery kicks into gear, and then we roll initiative.
Cool.
Done.
So she goes, yeah, I've seen bigger apes on the movie Planet of the Apes, and the screen was ages away, so fuck you.
Doesn't make sense in world, but I love it.
It doesn't make sense at all.
I actually need the ape to roll a DC 16 wisdom save, please.
That's a 19.
God damn it! What I really wanted to do with that, by the way, guys, is if it works, it has disadvantage on its next attack, which is the whole reason I was trying to do it. Sorry. I was just trying to get us some perks, you know?
A little debuff.
Yeah, but oh well. I tried!
Okay, initiative.
Dun dun. Do you put me in 16?
16. I fucking love that the gorilla just got a nat 20 on initiative.
Oh, suck my fucking ass. I've got a 13.
Let's suck your cock, because I don't have one.
Suck my fucking ass. Do you think that it's off-putting to our overseas people how much Kiwi swear?
No, they love it. My most listened to episode of Jules from NZ is Kiwi Slang, where I talk about swearing and how to swear in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Cool, so Ellerin was a 16, Banful was a 13.
Yeah.
Marley is a 15.
Okay, in between. And also the champion is there with you on your side.
Oh yeah, that
could just.
He's been there this whole time.
And he gets a 12.
Been... You're dead.
He gets a 12, so he goes after. He goes immediately after Banful.
Good, like father, like son. Shit it rolling.
Lead the way, son.
Off you go, son, I'll take out the rear.
In response to Marley's psychic attack, the gorilla does a like it leans forward and does a huge roaring, screaming motion at you, but no sound comes out of its mouth. But instead, you hear it inside your heads. All of you need to roll a wisdom save.
I figured that was the case.
And I would have had it better. Only it was the right kind of beast. Oh, fuck my tits. It's a 2.
18.
I got a 22.
An unnatural 1. So technically it's fine.
Oh, wait. Okay, my math is really bad. I didn't add 19 and 2 together well. That's a 21. 21.
Okay, Banfor and the champion both take.
Did we both buck up our rolls?
Yep, yeah. He got a 2.
Jeez, like father, like day. Son.
Like, no, this is getting spooky.
You both
chimp
take...
off the old block.
Huh?
Hey, you take 9 psychic damage.
Oh, I haven't even entered a Raja yet. That's so disappointing.
I'm so glad I healed you for 11. At least it's like it
hey,
didn't
look,
really happen.
Two in the back.
Yeah.
Hey, you did.
Oh, and Banfor and the champion both have disadvantage on their next turn.
Good. Like father, like fucking son. Good.
Wasn't expecting this damn ape to have wisdom attacks. That's definitely not what I expected.
Ellerin.
It's upsetting the actor.
Mm.
Alright. I want to see if I can use my ring of... Remember when I made that huge deal about putting on that shitty little ring?
Yes.
I want to use my ring of jumping to kind of like... leap up into the air, and I want to try and fire an arrow directly into its eyes to kind of give it disadvantage on attacking us all.
Yep, fair.
Okay, I'll let you do the attack as per the disadvantage aspect of it. We'll see.
Okay.
Mechanic
turns out. Oh dear. Well, I've let everyone down. I'm gonna roll my D6 of inspiration. It's not gonna make much of a difference. Actually, no.
Oh,
I'm not.
Don't roll
I'm
it not. If it's not gonna make a heap
no,
of difference.
No, exactly. Yeah,
yeah,
2.
Save it.
2. I got a 2.
Save it,
everybody.
Save it.
You get. Remember, we discussed this. You get a second attack.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. This time, everybody. So the first time, I kind of trip and stumble forward. Whoopee, that's more like it. 17, baby. Plus 7.
Okay,
no, that's just 17. Just 17. Yeah,
that's a hit.
Yeah, boom. Okay. 1d8 times 2. I
It's a 1 and a 6. 9 piercing damage into this motherfucker's eyes.
9 piercing damage into its eyes. Okay, roll me a D100 to see if that blinds it partially.
Okay. Alrighty. I've got a good feeling about this, everybody. 45.
Okay, no.
I got a bad feeling about this, everyone.
and Marley.
Cool. So Marley already had her hand crossbow out. She drew it as specified before, so she's going to try and shoot twice in the same direction. Clove, that's a 22 plus and a plus 3 more. 25 to hit.
Yep. That's it.
And that is 7, 6. So 13 damage, please.
13 damage, please.
I will take that. Cool. Can I also... I should have done that first, and I never remember to do my bonus actions first. Why are you such a dummy? I will have a Hail of Thorns for my next one, please, as my bonus action.
Okay.
And I will stay still. How many feet away is it, by the way? I didn't actually ask that.
Oh, just in your vicinity, 30 to 40-ish.
Cool.
Like, this big thing, right, like, basically in your face, but it's yep. huge, so in your face could kind of mean anything. Like you're standing on the front yard of a house.
Mm. Cool.
Good way of
looking. Banfor.
Banfor, because he forgot to as the thing was bloody charging, as an obvious thing he should do before obvious combat, now enters a rage, because he's a dickhead. So... rage on. I get 4 now. What a great time. Upon raging, charges at LeBeast, true to form, and makes 2 axe sword attacks. Oh, 1 axe sword attack. At it. No, 2.
2, yeah.
Yeah, 2, sorry. And because of my fire giant strength, that's a plus 10 to hit, which is tasty as a mother bitch. Alright.
Nice.
Right, D20. Wish me luck. Boom, boom. Oh, God, fuck me. Okay, good. So it's a nat 1 and a 4. which, I'm going to tell you right now, at best is a 14.
Have you got any luck left?
No, I used all of that earlier when I fucked this bone dragon in the face.
Mm.
So I pretty much just hanging out in the windy.
So Chaos Curse then, right?
I love that you invoke the Chaos Curse. Let's deal with that 14 first, which is a hit.
Oh, is it?
Ooh, nice. Oh, okay.
It's going to be soft, but there's going to be so much HP there. I swear to God. Okay, cool. So I actually wound quite well. So it is going to be 1d12 plus 7 plus 2 plus 2.
D12 plus 11.
Well, I mean, pretty quick on the math here, mate. I'll tell you that right now. So 1d12, right? So I'm using an internet roll, it's weird. 4. Mm. So
15
total. Apologies.
Okay, and now roll a d100 for your Chaos Curse.
Delicious. Okay. This is going to be a formative moment. It's a 53. It feels like a bad number, but
I don't like it. It feels bad.
Whether or not.
Yeah.
It feels ominous.
Mm.
Oh my God.
Fantastic.
I hate you so much.
Oh my God,
now,
please let it be good. Oh my God.
He's killed the great
play.
Please let it be like an auto crit or something. Like
what are the odds of this happening? Seriously, the timing of this. 53 on the Chaos Curse chart is the fire ape in front of you dies immediately.
Are you fucking serious?
No, I'm not. I'm not serious. I just wanted to get that moment.
Oh my God, Brad, you're the worst! No, you know what? I don't even mean that. You're not the worst. You gave me a flying wolf that's rideable. I love you.
Oh my God.
We're totally fine. You can do whatever you want. You're gold.
Just imagine, though, if the Chaos Curse literally said for 53, the fire ape in front of you dies, and you got that while fighting a fire ape. But yeah, this is actually beneficial.
You all die. That's what it really is.
And for what? You suddenly feel full effects of a long rest.
Wow, shit! Woo. Yes!
Completely believes you for a moment.
Yeah, cool.
And the fire ape dies.
Shit, no, long rest is way better. You've got all your luck back.
Obviously, this has been an advantageous fuck up. Boom. Take long rest, confirm. Oh, cool. Tasty.
You've got all your points back. You're going to be sweet, dude. Mm. Kick some butt next round.
And I'm raging, so half that damage, bruh.
Cool.
Guess who killed a fire giant? Your guy.
Now it's the champion. And as the champion raises his spear and begins to charge at the ape, a large... So about the height of the champion and Banfor... like a fluid-like tentacle creature that alternates between different shades of purple, grey, and orange. It sort of appears right in his way, and he runs through it. But then he stops his run, and he turns, and he faces Banfor. And he attacks.
Banfor.
I think yes. You've gotten it wrong. He's supposed to attack the ape.
Yeah. I'm confused.
Whatever this...
Apologies, whatever... Brad, but you've DM'd incorrectly. He's supposed to attack the ape.
He gets a 24. Does that hit your shielded, your AC?
I don't know what this strange joke is that you're playing, Brad. A 24.
Did you just call him a champion? I love the fact that you guys think that your text doesn't come up anywhere. I'm recording video as well. No. So it just comes up on the video instead.
Banfor, you take 12 piercing damage.
I take 6 piercing damage. How about you?
Yep. Okay. As he thrusts a spear right into you.
He thrusts his weapon.
He thrusts.
And like thrust. up this close, you can see in his face that he's confused about something.
Belinda blinked, and she was very confused about the thrusting dagger. She wondered idly about why it was happening. Has anybody else read, like, listen to my dad wrote a porno? Shit, that is funny.
I recommended it the other day. It's
so good.
Belinda blinked.
Oh, it's not even my turn in the order yet. God, I want to do stuff so badly.
The ape will just try and slam a fist down on Banfor, who just just hit it with an axe sword.
Well, I've had my red wine, so.
That's a,
he's ready for a fisting.
That's a 23.
Because everybody knows red wine just puts you in the mood for a fisting.
Banfor, this huge this huge red clenched ape fist.
Oh
slams.
God, I actually have two of those.
Slams down on you for 18 bludgeoning damage and smashes you into the ground.
What if I take that 18 and make it 9? How about that?
Ooh, is it face first into the ground? Ooh, fuck me harder, Daddy.
Okay.
Well, there's the line. Yeah, I think we've all felt. Here it is.
And now Ellerin.
Sorry, I'm just trying to cleanse my mind. For a second.
I'm sorry. Is it or is it not Banfor's daddy?
No, I don't think the ape is his father. Mm. His father is simply watching the fisting, okay? Like a totally normal dynamic.
Clearly the ape is my mother. We have not seen genitalia, and it would be obvious if it were there.
That is true. Roll for nature check on genitalia.
Ellerin's going in with the arcane shot. When I fire an arrow, I can apply one arcane shot option, and I'm going to apply bursting arrow, which is it will take 2d6 force damage.
plus the addition, plus the regular damage.
Nice. Nice.
It doesn't matter though, because I've rolled a 7. So.
Oh no! Total. No, actually 7. You still can't make 14, even if you got.
Aren't you inspired? Yeah. Don't you have bardic inspiration?
Yeah, but like if he only rolls a d6, so what's the odds of him actually getting a 6? And then it's only 13. Yeah. We know a 14 hits.
I have another attack anyway, so I'll just.
So you may as well save again. The bardic inspiration again.
That's better. 17.
Yeah, that's nice. A hit.
Okay, very good. Six plus. What did I say was the extra for the bursting arrow?
2d6, I think.
Okay, yeah. So 6 plus 5 plus 3. So 14 all up?
Okay, so the ape takes 14?
Yeah.
Okay, yep, so this, this bolt shoots out of your crossbow and thuds hard into the gorilla's chest, and then there's like a little like poof explosion as well, which sends it reeling back a little bit, and it roars in response. And now Marley.
Okay, so Marley did her Hunter's Mark last time. Hunter's Mark? No, Hail of Thorns.
No.
Last time.
Yes.
Which, that's that, and then she's gonna fire. I just realized I don't need to roll twice because I'm rolling at the same thing, which hits with both arrows. That's right, I don't actually need to roll for both arrows. We decided that.
Correct.
Yeah. I thought that was the case.
It's kind of an advantage to roll for both arrows.
Not necessarily. Well, yeah, I suppose. It could be, but I roll for each arrow if it's going at different targets. But if it's going at the same target, then I only roll once, is what we decided.
That makes sense. Yeah. All right, that makes sense. Yeah.
So I rolled a 7, but plus 8. So that is 15.
Which is a hit.
Brilliant. And that is a 6. And that is a 5. And then my Hunter's Mark. Hail of Thorns, not Hunter's Mark. I keep saying that. Is 2d10 at that level. So 6 plus 5 is 11. Plus 3 is 14. Plus 5 is 19. Only 19. Could have been a better roll, but, you know, 19.
Nice. 19's a good hit.
Then for my bonus action this time, I cast Hunter's Mark.
Okay, so what? Describe the damage happening on the ape.
Yeah, so as we know, when she casts Hail of Thorns, essentially her arrows shoot off, and then a whole bunch of arrows kind of come with it, like a cloud of arrows all shooting towards the target. And because the arrows are both aiming for the same place, they're both aiming for the head, he just now looks like a vague porcupine of arrows all around his head. Like nice. That horror movie creature with the nails in its head. Yeah, like that.
Yep. Pinhead. Yeah.
Pinhead, cool. That's the one.
Cool. And Banthor.
Yeah, g'day, how are you? So
you've just been flattened by it, and you've been stabbed by your dad.
But I have had a lovely, lovely rest. So surveying the battlefield, as a bonus action, Banthor nods and smiles quietly to himself. Because this is shaping up to be a lovely day. Banthor is going to, I think, if I extricate myself from El Padre, is that going to provoke an attack of opportunity?
Depends how you do it. Technically, mechanically, yes, it will. And if you're just basically, going to ignore the fact that he's there attacking you, it will.
So, if I take that hit, do I still complete the motion?
Yes.
And it wouldn't take an action or an attack off of me, so I could still move and then fight like normal and maybe take a HP deficit for it.
That's right. You gonna risk it?
Cool. Yo, I'm gonna bounce from dad fight and I'm gonna rock over to giant monkey fight.
Okay, hang on. He nat-1'd, so he You just, yeah, you turn away from him and he's just too slow to react and he just thrusts his
spear
like
some bitch. Yeah, no, perfect. Okay, cool. He doesn't, like, shit himself or something on a net one?
No, he's not chaos cursed.
Oh.
Doesn't have to be chaos to shit yourself, let me tell you.
I'll tell you that right now. Six times as a grown man. Anyway, so I'm going to perform 3 axe sword attacks upon La Beastie after shucking my dad. Okie dokie. 1, 2, 3. Oh, terrible still. Jesus Christ. So plus 10, I got a 16, a 12, and an 18.
16, a 12, and an 18. Okay, so the 16 and the 18 hit.
Jeez, that's still not good though, eh? All right, and then I am then 2d12 plus 11. Boom, boom. Oh, nice. 12 and 19, so plus 22. Fuck me, Christ.
How did you get a 12 and a 19 if it's 2d12?
A 12 and a 9.
Oh, right.
Sorry. I'm sorry, I started doing math and it completely derailed me.
So a 12 and a 9 plus 11, right?
Yes,
so 21 plus 11. So 32.
What? No, it's 12 plus 11 and 9 plus 11.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But so, 21 plus 11 is 32 plus another 11 is 43.
Cool. I'm going to take 43 if everybody's okay with that. Because
okay.
That was a... critical.
If I did the math wrong, everybody listening to this podcast is going to be laughing hysterically right now. But that's fine. We'll take 43 for the win.
We'll go with 43.
That was a slap in the face of the Ministry of Education.
As you take 3 big swings with your axe sword, 2 of which land quite severely, and yeah, cut 2 big gashes out of this thing's sort of lower belly.
Oh, nice. All right.
Yeah, I'm just thinking with its height.
Oh, I was... Yeah, good. All right.
Oh, yeah. And now the champion is... you notice that he sort of, like, shakes his head as if he's sort of, like, regaining his senses. And then he turns and he charges towards...
Oh, he failed the will save that badly. He attacked his friend. I get it now. Ally.
He charges toward the ape and tries to attack with his spear. And that's a hit. And 2d6.
Let's go, Dad.
He does 13 damage with a big spear attack on the ape.
13.
And it's going to respond by smashing him with its fist. And again, you hear in your mind,
Lawflak, wake! Lawflak, wake!
And it misses. It slams a fist down next to him, but it, like, just shaves past him and hits the ground. And it, like, shakes the ground around you. And Ellerin.
All right, I'm going to try something. This might not work.
I'm into it immediately. Yep.
I'm gonna look the ape in the eye and yell out, Lawflak, sleep!
And that's your action?
Can it come in my whole turn? I'm just yelling something out, surely. I just
okay, I'll
it.
Give that to you.
Your turn is 6 seconds, so you better hurry up.
Unless you want that to actually do something, that's just a free action.
Well, surely it's only going to do something or it's not, right?
Yeah, unless you were doing that as part of vicious mockery or something.
That's my first attack, is yelling out, Lawflak, sleep.
Okay, it does nothing.
Please don't make that be a thing, Adam.
And your second attack?
Oh my god. Attack,
I say it again, maybe I didn't say it loud enough. Like talking to a person from another country.
I say it again in Orcish.
I turn to all my colleagues and kind of give a sheepish, apologetic look.
Marley smacks her saxophone until it works again and then casts it at Ellerin.
Are we all kind of standing in front of the ape right now?
Mm-hmm.
I'd say, yeah, vaguely. I mean, you could have maneuvered around the place. I mean, you jumped somewhere. You jumped straight up, I think.
Yeah. Is there any advantage in me kind of rushing through its legs to be on the other side of the ape to kind of split its focus?
Flanking isn't really a thing in D&D.
Yeah, you could do flanking, which would give you advantage.
Yeah, okay. I'll run through its legs then. So I'm on the other side.
Is it officially called a double team?
No, it's officially called flanking.
It's called flanking. It's
oh, right,
unofficially so called double teaming.
Would be something else.
Yeah.
Cool.
Right.
Yeah.
So you run through its legs and
I look at its penis and laugh on the way.
I will get you to roll an acrobatics check to try and do this in a
cool way.
In a dope, cool way that doesn't get you killed. And if it's low, you're getting an attack of opportunity on you.
Okay. Fair.
Is it not tasty?
It's a 7.
Okay. You just casually stroll past, whistling, pretend trying to be nonchalant, and it tries to punch you.
In the Marvel movie.
Brad, I mean, Alarin, that would have been the time to use Bardic Inspiration.
Oh, but yeah, it's by fine. The way, that would
have
been
Don't worry about totally, it. You missed it.
Totally
that would have been the time, yeah. So. If you want to see what the time looked like, just look behind you in time, mm-hmm. And that was weird.
That time just passed you by.
Yeah, over there.
Doesn't 18 hit your AC?
Yes.
Sure.
Yes, it does.
It's equal to my AC.
Okay. Yep. So meets beats. So as you try to get past it, it slams a fist down on you and squishes you into the ground.
Mm.
What a subculture we part of, eh? The meets beats.
For 14 bludgeoning damage.
Oof.
Ouch. Ouch.
And now it's Marley's turn.
Okie dokies.
But Ellerin, you did successfully get past it, though. Like, you are now behind it.
Oh, sweet. I'm glad the two attacks I had resulted in such a huge win for the team.
Wait, so... Did you attack twice and then move?
No, my first attack was yelling at it.
Yeah. And then you moved.
You didn't actually take a second attack.
So you have a second attack.
Yeah.
You haven't used it yet. A movement is an addition. Yeah.
Narratively, you would feel like shit at this point. But
yeah. I'm just going
to. You can redeem yourself. A 14 to hit. 14 to hit, Ellerin. You've got a bardic inspiration in the tank.
Actually, no, sorry, it's a 22. Yeah, awesome.
Yeah.
That's a hit. And that's a six damage. Six big damage points.
As a turn.
Take that.
Yeah, 6 damage. So you fire this arrow into its lower back, and it just wedges in there, and you don't
like
really
acupuncture. Oh, that's cleared that up.
My sciatica.
And then he yells in your mind, Lawflak, relax.
Lawflak, no more allergic peanuts.
Hey, look, every point counts, mate. Every point counts. That could be the 6 points that we needed. You don't know.
It definitely won't be, but thanks for trying to make me feel better.
And Marley.
Okay, cool. She already has Hunter's Mark up. She's gonna keep that going and try and hit again. That is an 11 plus 8, so that's good. And then... a 2 plus, what is it, 3, so 5, and then an 8, so that's
13.
5 and 8 is 13, plus an extra d6 for Hunter's Mark, which is 17 in total, please. And then what is she going to do for a bonus action this time? She's gonna just I think Bardic Inspiration is for things I can see within 60 foot. Yep, cool. So she'll Bardic Inspiration Bamfor. So Bamfor's got a d6. It's my last one, buddies. And then she will move so that they're in like a triangle. So she's in like a... She'll just move to the side.
Okay. Banfor, as you go to take your action, this fluid tentacle sort of creature appears right in front of you and it just sort of melds its body against you. Can you roll a wisdom save?
Very forward. Wisdom.
How many tentacles are we talking? Is it 8?
13, bringing me down to a 12 with the not too smart all the time.
But remember, you do have the bardic inspiration if you think you need it.
So a puddle monster has given me a cuddle, and I have to decide via wisdom if I freak out about it.
Yeah, and my wisdom checks are usually 16, so if it's any kind of good, you might want to add.
Yeah, all right, let's use the inspo. Inspo used. It's another 6 on that, so that's nice. It's an 18.
Okay, that is fine. You hear this this whispery voice inside your mind that tries to tell you that the ape is your ally and that the others are your enemy, but you don't believe it.
Fucking good thing I passed that, so.
Nice.
And then it disappears.
Nice.
Good.
And now it's your turn.
Me Banfor. Wonderful. This is whipped around this turn. Okay, good. Look, it is very tempting to grapple this monster. I'm very aware currently of how strong a grappling barbarian is. I'm into it as an idea, but I think that it kind of wouldn't really work.
Nah,
it
just
wouldn't. Its size category is huge, which is
okay.
So
swipe.
Sideswipe. No, it's okay. I've got fire giant strength team. So Banfor is going to institute his patented 3 axe attacks.
Get it. Well, with your separated now, eh? Because you have them separated now because the god took them apart.
Yeah, so he's kind of like dual handing at the Momo. It seems to be coming naturally to him. I get a bonus whether it's two handed or martial. So that's good. Cool.
Does he get advantage because of the flanking?
Yeah, you do anyway.
Yeah, technically he should. And I'm trying to weigh up if I want to give that to him or just give it to you, Ellerin, because you're behind him. Narratively, that makes more sense that you'd have advantage.
Yeah, it's still focusing on me. You haven't attacked it and distracted it yet. No, I'm cool with that. If you are.
Yeah. I'm going to go against rules as written and say Banfor does not have advantage, but Ellerin does.
That's fair. Cool. All right, so that's 2 hits, and that's 2 12s. Plus 11 again. Jesus Christ. Uh, 18 and 14 damage.
Shit. Okay. Cool. Describe the death of this red ape.
What?
Yeah, buddy!
You guys fucking barrage the damage. The damage out the wazoo of this thing.
Yeah
buddy!
It was like
80 HP
and like
ran away like a pussy.
Yo.
I was about to fucking optimize the character. Shit, too.
Yo. Could have hit 2 of those, eh?
I could
told you we'd have it, no problem.
Yeah.
We took down
true.
A fucking. What was he? It was a fire giant. We have a fire 8, no problems.
I think we're going to do like the classic coup d'etat, using the sword to sort of climb, and sword and the axe to climb up and just sort of put them both together and then in one, you know, through the back of the skull.
Nice. Classic.
Yeah, writing it down like it's, you know.
Yeah. Okay, so it roars this huge echoing roar that you can tell just goes for miles and miles throughout the city, and then it sort of starts falling backwards with Ellerin right behind it. Ellerin, can you roll a deck save to not be under it?
So glad I moved.
15?
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, you manage to, like, slip out of the way as this massive body falls to the ground. There is a powerful and very painful psychic wave just blasts from this thing, and it knocks all of you unconscious.
Ah, we don't even get a save. Rude.
You do not. While you're unconscious, I will run you through a cutscene that happens sort of before this fight and during this fight.
Oh, story time! Jules cracks a Jim Beam for story time.
Sit back and enjoy a tale.
Just like when she was 7, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, if we rewind the clock a little bit back to when you were talking with the Empress before you killed her.
Sure.
And the whole crowd is focused on that event happening in the middle of the killing grounds. Sai the Shark peeks out of the lake to see that all eyes are on something happening with Banfor and some other people in the middle of the arena. He emerges from the water, flaps his wings a little, and flies a few clumsy feet. He looks up at the crowd, and nobody appears to have seen him yet. Come on, Sai, you can do this, he says to himself. He flaps his wings again and flies high enough to clear the arena wall and land among the bleachers, surprising and terrifying the crowd. Sorry, he mentally projects as loudly as he can. I'm sorry, I don't want to hurt anybody. But people are screaming and fleeing from the spot as Sai flies in small, awkward hops, trying to avoid bystanders and find an exit. He eventually finds one and follows a series of corridors and stairways until he exits onto the city streets. Laura! He yells as loudly as his telepathy allows. Laura, I'm coming! Laura!
It's like a love story.
I hope he gets hit by a bus.
Yeah, he's incoming. Yeah.
He aimlessly roams the city streets outside the Killing Grounds arena for a few moments, and then a loud, beastly roaring sound echoes through the city. It seems distantly familiar to him, like something half suppressed from a long, long time ago. Sai shudders. Just then, a small army of cats runs past with mice atop their backs.
Four years of Vampire's Bear.
Hey! One of the cats halts and turns back to face the shark. I'm looking for my friend Laura. She's being held, somewhere. Can you help me? The mouse, resplendent in shining armor, simply nods. Oh, thank you so much! Sai describes Laura to the mouse, who immediately raises its sword and sends riders in all directions. Within a minute, one of the riders returns, suggesting it knows where to go. Sai is led to a small stairwell leading to a thick wooden door. The armored mouse raises its sword once more and points at the door. Thank you, mouse. Thank you so much. The mouse salutes and leads its troops away into the city.
Oh my god, your mice are cooler than you are, Banfor.
Fucking number one, rude. Number two, keep this fanciful fucking narrative going.
Sai mutters to himself, okay, here we go. He summons all of his strength and bravery and leaps down the stairs, slamming his nose into the door, smashing it and sending splinters flying into the dark room beyond. Laura! He screams. A pair of soldiers in black and gold uniforms leap back in surprise, releasing the young woman in their captivity. Sai, you're alive! She wraps her arms around his head in a desperate hug. Oh, Sai, thank you. Thank you so much. I knew you'd find me. Sai nudges Laura aside gently and faces the soldiers. They draw spears nervously in his direction, but he is much too quick for them. The shark lunges its huge body forward, tearing one of the soldiers in half with his powerful jaws and smashing the other against a solid stone wall.
Go, Sai! Get him!
So that's where you got to, a voice interjects. Sai turns to see Laura standing beside a woman with icy blue skin. The woman eyes the shuck curiously for a moment and says, "All right, you big weird anomaly, back to the chaos realm with you." The icy woman takes a few steps and approaches and puts her hand on Sai's fin. He hears the fading sound of Laura saying, "Thank you, my friend." as she fades into nothingness.
Fucking Ziglamel, I hate her so much. I want to kill her. That is gonna be Marley's. That's what Marley should have fucking asked for. Die, Ziglamel.
Problem is that you can't defeat chaos without creating more chaos.
Oh, I hate that bitch so much.
Cool. So you've been unconscious for some length of time. Eventually, Marley and Banfor, you awake to the sound of crackling
cats and mice, because that's weird. I'm sorry, I'm just fascinated. What the hell are your mice up to, Banfor?
What do you mean? They're doing as they were instructed.
Marley and Banfor, you wake to like the feeling of comfort, like you're in a bed or on a soft cushion surface or something, and the sound of crackling energy and the feeling of wind blasting past you. You gather your senses and you find that you're resting on the couches in the large back room of Jareen and the Gloves headquarters, where you slept the night before. You feel groggy and drained, but as you sort of get more control over your consciousness, you happen to notice that your new friend, Ellerin Windrush, is standing in front of a swirling crimson portal. He has a bloody dagger in his hand and he tosses it to the stone floor.
Banfor, a street survivor and proper reptile, upon sight of a knife, a portal and blood, quick as a flash, whips a half brick at Ellerin.
I want to dodge this brick.
Okay. That is, an attack against your AC.
How close is Marley to Ellerin?
Also, do I still have Stone Giant strength?
No, I'd say you don't anymore.
But we have had a long rest.
You've had some amount of rest.
Cool. I'm cool with it. Come on, baby. 16, and sorry, I'm going to have to remove my
question. How rested are we? Like, are we actually rested? Do we have our shit back?
No, you're not full rested.
Cool. Yeah, awesome. I was going to say, if we're not rolling initiative, Marley also casts Thunderwave, annoyed at both of them, just at first level.
Okay.
Just like, as in a wall of force. Just to blow the brick out of the way. Like, I'm seeing all of this happen at the same time. Do you know what I mean? So, like, she sees the brick. She casts a wall of force in the direction of the brick, almost against the brick rather than against the two of them.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know how you want to play this out, but that's in my head.
Okay. I'd say if you both act at the same time, like you see this, you react in that way. Banfor tries to throw a half brick. Marley hurls a thunder wave
at the brick.
I got a okay, so I did my d20 roll and I got 16 plus 6, which is, it's 22 technically. Okay. So are you trying to beat my attack roll, or are you trying to beat what?
I'm just trying to like destroy the brick before it hits Ellerin. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's kind of what Marley's thinking. She's not casting it at you. She's trying to make sure nobody else gets injured in any kind of way.
React.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, the brick is going to roll a con save.
Quote of the night. I'm writing it down.
The brick gets a 14.
Yeah, the brick fails its con save, so it's pushed 10 feet.
The brick, okay. A level 12.
The brick is pushed 10 feet, and it also receives, it receives fucking half 10 damage. So I don't know what you want to do with that information.
So Banfor hurls, masterfully hurls this half brick perfectly on point at Ellerin's head, but the Thunderwave knocks it off course and it hits a wall and shatters into just pieces of brick. Ellerin, what do you do in reaction to this?
I hold up my hand. You can see that there's blood dripping from Ellerin's palm, And I just simply look at them both and say, it was an honor to fight alongside you, my friends, but I have a score to settle. I don't know why I just put on an American accent here out of absolutely nowhere. That was really bizarre. Can I take that again? Can you rip that out of the
edit? We could totally edit that out, but that's amazing, by the way.
I'm such a big fan of it. I am the biggest fan in the world of that.
What a count. He held up his hand.
Score to settle.
What's going to happen? It was like a young Val Kilmer.
Yeah, it occurs to Marley that means that Alarin's just transported us and taken damage for us. So she throws him a quick cure wounds, no matter what he's going to do. Like, to say thanks.
Another brick.
No, to say thanks. And she actually manages to roll a 7 plus 5, so there you go. I'm rolling you a 12... heal points in response to the fact that you will have taken damage to portal us.
Unless he portal us into, like, a sewer.
Yeah. So Alarin holds up his hand. You can see that there's, like, a big ripped cut through his hand. There's blood dripping down his arm. And he says, it was an honor to fight alongside you, but for now, I have a score to settle. Take the dagger. You're going to need it. And then he turns back and leaps through the portal.
Okay, Alarin, roll 2d12.
Wait, so Adam just joined us and he's leaving again?
That's what it looks like.
I'm confused.
A 12 on the first one. Oof. And a 10 on the next one.
Okay, Alarin steps through the swirling crimson portal and takes 22 hit points of necrotic damage in the process, and then the portal closes.
Marley catches the dagger. Can I roll for like
The dagger's just the dagger's on the ground.
Okay, Marley picks up the dagger.
Okay, and you turn around to see three figures standing quietly in the back of the room, just observing from a distance. Bedimus, the shadowy death demon and herald to Sorgamol, the god of death. Afimata Zero, the clockwork knowledge demon and herald to Hadet, the god of knowledge. And a stout human-shaped creature that is near transparent, as if made of cloud. And Bedimus simply says,
"We need to talk."
And that's the end of chapter 3 of The Fate of Vicente.
Oh, I hate it.
I have so many questions!
That's the point!
It's called
How is our listeners gonna feel, let alone how I feel? Oh my god!
You guys killed that fire ape a lot quicker than I thought you were going to, and there was a thing that I wanted to happen that I didn't get a chance to have happen. But it's cool, it can happen another time.
You gotta kill my dad.
Is the champion with us?
No, he's not.
Okay, so it's just...
The fact that you're in the back room of the Gloves headquarters suggests that while you were unconscious, maybe the Gloves helped you somehow, considering that they had infiltrated the arena as well. So,
yeah, see, Marley woke up, saw Alarin with blood, assumed Alarin had transported us out of there.
Yeah.
So she assumed that, and then realized that he was doing that to go somewhere else. But that's,
his last words, thanks for the hit points!
The thing is if you'd asked, we probably would have gone with you. It's not like we have a mission right now.
Then it would have killed him.
What?
It would have taken
murdered him if you jumped through there. He would have taken hit points total to the number of people that have passed through the portal.
So yeah, we probably. What I'm saying is, we probably could have found a better way to do that.
Right? Yeah. So it's like, hey, we came with you. Oh God, you're in pieces.
I mean, we could have murdered somebody in order to go through a portal. Although, you know, okay, so people have asked me, like, on Twitter and in Discord, which, by the way, please join us on Discord and have a chat with us. It's great. And if you're a Patreon supporter, then you can join us in the specific Fate of Aizen Discord, which is, like, a whole extra thing other than the Necroponicon Discord. People have asked me, is Marley evil? Because... So there's a few things that I've done recently that aren't exactly good.
Well, I mean, the puppy thing was Unforgivable.
I mean, hey, the puppy thing was accidental because I forgot we were on a cliff. Blame Jules for that. Don't blame Marley. But there's been a few things, like, and the fact that I just killed the Empress without, like, any hesitation, apparently.
Yeah. The so one thing that it might be useful to let listeners know is that the next episode will be the Q&A / wrap up of chapter 3. So anyone who's got questions about that, feel free to let us know ASAP before we record that. And the Apple Squadeth is going to take a bit of a break for a while. So the Squadeth,
where are we going? Well, we don't know because the DM hasn't told us.
The Squadeth story is going to take a rest in chapter 4. Instead, in chapter 4, we're going to get a series of stories of other things that are happening around Isen, because it's a big world, it's a busy world, and there's a lot going on. So we'll see the Squadeth again in chapter 5, but in the meantime, chapter 4 is going to bring you a whole lot of new perspectives.
And can I just say, in chapter 5, Marley gets a rideable hodge with wings.
She gets
very excited about it.
She gets a mythological abomination unto God.
Hodges back! Hodges back! Hodges
maybe
back!
Maybe he can live for more than 4 episodes.
Pet cemetery.
Hodge was technically alive for 2 days, I'll have you know. 2 days game time.
So that's good. Hey,
Brad, did you still want to...
Maybe 3.
Do actually. Some Trantis story? In the interim?
I would love to have Trantis having his story unfold a bit more as well.
Oh my god.
You're king.
Is Trantis back?
Yeah.
Big time.
Does that mean?
He's reformed. He's got a job teaching at a girl's
school. Brad.
He works at Greg's Bakery.
Brad.
Does that mean the twins are back? He's a good guy.
I cannot confirm or deny if Trezazic and Jeff have a role to play.
Please let Trezazic and Jeff be back. Everybody hated them, and it was great. It was the best time of my life. I have never been so universally hated before, and it was great. I ate it up. Nobody liked Trezazic and Jeff, and it made me so happy. Because I always play characters that everybody's like, oh, but you're great, and you're cute, and you're adorable. But I played them, and it was amazing. Made me really happy.
All right.
Well, that's us. Thank you very much.
All right,
everybody.
Okay.
Catch y'all.
Apple Squadeth out.
Please use my normal accent. Don't use like the random bit of, all righty, partners, I'm out of here. I got a spur to settle.
Keep both in, please. Please. The original and the retake. Because the original has its own very subtle fragrance. It has its own bouquet. It has its own certain foible sort of quirks that I think are delicious.
So good.
Hey there. It's been nice knowing you, partner.
I'm outer here.
Well, how about that? Lawflak wake. What does that mean? Where did that giant psychic-powered red-furred fire-raising gorilla even come from? And bonus points to anybody who recognized Namakak, the Demon of Lies, who showed its face and tried to turn the heroes against each other. Sai the Shuck is actually an abomination from one of the Chaos Realms. Oh, and Hodge is going to be resurrected as a whole new kind of beast. Exciting! Ellerin has left the group, boohoo, to go settle some scores from his past, and a trio of demons has something important to tell the Squadeth. I wonder what it could be. Well, actually, I don't wonder, but you might. Right, okay, so the next episode is going to be our Chapter 3 recap and Q&A. Big thank you to all the people who have submitted questions for us to talk about on the air. After that episode, we'll jump straight into Chapter 4, which is going to be something very different. The Squadeth story will be taking a break for a while, because Isin is a big world and there are a lot of other stories and perspectives to be told. Throughout Chapter 4, we'll be getting lots of new characters playing lots of different mini-arcs. Marley and Banfor will make their... heroic? Question mark? Return in Chapter 5. A big thank you to our Patreon supporters, Alex White Robinson, Person Who Wants to Stay Anonymous, Robert Baldino, Irene Cucci, Laura Christine Goodwin, James Blyser, Sajay Hodgkins, Laura Douglas, Mel Ziegler, Roger Avamata, Sam Malcolm, Kai Dravaus, Lauren Flake, Kai Dearlove, and our brand newest patron, Rihanna Kowalczyk. Sorry for butchering your name earlier in the episode. If anybody else wants me to mispronounce their name on a regular basis, check out our reward tiers over at patreon.com/fateofisin. And don't forget to hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram at Fate of Isin, or email fateofisin@gmail.com. Or head to the Necropodicon Network Discord server to chat with us in real time. We're there all the time. There's a link to that on our website, fateofisin.com. Alrighty, that's it. Chapter 3 done. See you later, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Hello everyone, Adam here from the Gunpowder Treason No Plot podcast. The show you've just listened to is part of the Necropodicon Network. Visit necropodicon.com for a host of other podcasts, including our own misadventures in a 5th edition homebrew world of mad gods, crazed cults, and violent revolutions. Check out our new episodes every Monday on the Necropodicon Network.